This is Fresh Air. I'm Terry Gross. Composer Henry Mancini died on Tuesday at the age of 70. He had pancreatic cancer. On this archive edition of our show, we remember Mancini with a 1987 interview. Henry Mancini composed hundreds of themes for movies and TV. His best-known movie themes became hit songs, like The Days of Wine and Roses and Moon River, the theme from Breakfast at Tiffany's. Mancini was one of the early composers to write jazz themes, like his theme for the TV detective series Peter Gunn and the movie detective spoof The Pink Panther. His many other movie scores include Touch of Evil, A Shot in the Dark, The Glenn Miller Story, and the 1987 remake of The Glass Menagerie. I'd like to go back to the beginning of your career in Hollywood. You started off in the early 1950s at Universal, and I guess you were on contract there, and from the way I understand it, you did about 100 films. One of those films was Touch of Evil, which is directed by Orson Welles, one of the real great films. Did you do a lot of schlock also?
Well, it was mostly schlock.
Was it?
It was mostly, we had everything there. Let me put it this way. I was there 6 years, and Universal, during that time, made around 50 pictures a year. So that number of 100 is quite under what the real figure would be. But we had all kinds of stuff. Westerns, these old Rory Calhoun Westerns. Ma and Pa Kettle, Francis the Mule, Bonzo the Ape, stuff like that. In addition, well, I got about two or three good pictures while I was there. The Glenn Miller Story was another one.
Did you have to learn all the Hollywood cliches of the period?
Yeah, that was the best part. What do you mean of the period? They're still around. there's no period. I did. I've said that in the past. Learning the cliches was most fun of all, just to know that you could do what the big boys were doing at the time. But that's true. And in doing that, you get that all out of your system. You have attacks of it once in a while sometimes.
Can you describe some of the cliches that you had to learn? Like, was there a certain kind of sound to go for to bring tears to people's eyes, and something else that you'd have to use for a Rory Calhoun Western?
Yeah, well, it was the day of the overstated villain, and my boss during those years was Joe Gershenson, who was a marvelous man and very astute dramatically, he was a street guy from New York. And he had a very succinct way. He called it, you know, when you have, like, the villain appears, he'd say, "I want a jig-a-jig there." And a jig-a-jig was, bah-bah, something like that, you know. And then, of course, the outdoor themes, and it was fun. I really got a kick out of it.
Can you use those cliches now?
If called for, yeah, it depends. You have to be very careful, though, you know. People have to know you have your tongue in your cheek, or else they say, "What's that old fogey doing up there?" You know.
Now, the theme that you wrote that really made you famous to everybody in America was the theme from Peter Gunn, which was the TV detective show that started in, I think it was 1958. And
right.
he was, I guess, one of the first really cool private eyes on television. Could I ask you to describe what was in your mind when you wrote the score, the sound that you were going for?
Well, first of all, you have to separate the theme from the score. If you notice, the theme has really nothing to do with jazz. The theme I wrote because I said, now, Peter Gunn, what am I going to do here? I have to have something that's going to get their attention right away. And this ostinato bass came in, you know, and it sounded very powerful in the low, with the guitar and the bass and the piano playing, boom, 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 boom. And that was another thing. That was, I think, the secret of the success of that piece was the fact that it was 8 to the bar, which indicated rock and roll. And as you know, there have been many records. Jimi Hendrix recorded it. All along the way, there have been many, many recordings by the rock people. It's a punk favorite, too.
I know. Well, I'm going to play your recording of it from an album that you made of the theme. And this is Henry Mancini's theme from Peter Gunn. Yeah, that really does still sound great.
Thank you.
Do you ever still listen to it?
No, not much. I don't. I listen to my things right after I make them. Albums, or if it's a movie, I'll look at it. And whatever I do, I just do them, and then I file them away. And I rarely, unless I come across it, of course, in. On the radio, or I'm looking at TV, and I happen to pass a station, pass a channel that is playing a picture.
You know, a friend of mine who used to watch Peter Gunn all the time, still does on reruns, says that he grew up always wanting to be followed around by a walking bass line like Peter Gunn was.
Yeah, well, you know something, the walking bass in television anyhow, or in scoring, has become... is a cliche of that period, you know. But at that time, it hadn't been used that much, and it's the greatest thing for sustaining any kind of a line or an emotion. You do it slow, it has another effect. You do it fast, and you get a very exciting music from it. I think that was the key, that opening bass line, yeah, now that I think about it.
We're featuring a 1987 interview with composer Henry Mancini. He died of cancer on Tuesday. This is Fresh Air. Back to our interview with Henry Mancini. When you wrote the Pink Panther theme, did you intend that as almost a parody of the Peter Gunn theme?
No. It had nothing to do. It was a different kind of... in fact, the Pink Panther was much more jazz than Peter Gunn. I had no idea when I wrote that theme, which I wrote very quickly, by the way. It just came out. It was like a rush. But I had... written that for David Niven, who played the Phantom. And when Blake told me he was going to have a cartoon, animated feature, not feature, animated cartoon at the beginning, I said, well, gee, I said to myself, well, I've already written that. So I just adapted it and made it fit in with all of the things that they did on the screen.
I just want to play a little taste of the theme that you wrote for the Pink Panther. Thank you. You know, I think that you're one of the composers who really helped forge that link between crime stories and jazz themes. And then there was a period, I think, where jazz was used much less on television, especially for crime themes and for detective themes.
Yeah, well, in movies, you know, jazz had been used mostly, sadly enough, for pictures that had sleazy backgrounds or had dope or, you know, had drinking or something of that sort. It was always attached to that. It had that stigma to it, and I was happy at Peter Gunn that I was able to inject some humor, which, of course, you know, jazz can be very humorous if used in the right way.
I want to ask you about another song that you wrote that's become a standard, and I'm thinking of Moon River, which was the theme from Breakfast at Tiffany's. You've written more scores than you have songs. I think that's fair to say. You're gonna correct
yes.
that?
No, no.
Oh, okay.
No.
So tell me what you were thinking about when you wrote that song.
Well, you hit a good point there. All of the songs, just practically all of the songs that I have had written or were popular and are popular now, came out of dramatic situations from the movie. In other words, I didn't sit down to write Moon River as a popular song. In fact, I don't think I could do that. I wouldn't know where to start. I have to have something to react to, and therefore all of the songs are actually themes that came out of the various films.
What are some of the strangest places you've heard your songs or themes played?
Oh, goodness. I was in Osaka once, and we were doing concerts. And we went to have something to eat after the concert, and we went up to this place that was like the Top of the Mark or something like that. And they had a piano player came in, and he didn't know we were there at all. He didn't know I was there. And I could see him right now. He's a little, kind of little guy, had a pinstripe suit. He looked like a hitman for the mafia. And he came in, and he sat down, and the first thing he started playing was Moon River. And he had... It's a simple song, you know. You can play it all on the white keys, and you get off in great shape. But he proceeded to put some exotic harmonies in there. Well, no, exotic's not the right word. Wrong harmonies. And by the time he was finished, we were literally couldn't contain ourselves. My bass player, Abe Laboriel, was over there, and he had slid off the chair under the table. Because these are musical jokes, you know. And to hear something that, like, we just finished playing with the orchestra on the stage, and then to hear this guy come and do a version that was really unorthodox. things like that. The funny things are great, you know.
Do you hear your music performed in restaurants and elevators and things like that?
Oh, I hope so. I think, you know, that's a good place to be. That shows you... That shows that the songs are well-known and that people will accept them.
I want to thank you very much for talking with us about your work.
Well, it's a pleasure. Thank you so much.
Henry Mancini, recorded in 1987. He died Tuesday at the age of 70. His theme from the film The Days of Wine and Roses became a pop and jazz standard. This is the Tony Bennett, Bill Evans version. The lyric is by Johnny Mercer.
Days of wine and roses. and run away like a child at play through the meadowland toward a closing door, a door marked nevermore that wasn't there before. The lonely night discloses just a passing breeze filled with memories of the golden smile that introduced me to the days of wine and roses and you.
Tony Bennett and Bill Evans' recording of Henry Mancini's The Days of Wine and Roses.